Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
Some of you are not, and maybe this is new to you, but we have one of the top CIO, Chief Information Officers, in the country. He's an award-winning gentleman, Mike Matthews. He runs all the information and technology at Oral Roberts University. He came to visit us here and a couple months ago, and he began to give me the idea of, like, would you guys like to do this in your facility? It doesn't even take up space. It's just a few cameras here or there, and it turns your whole center into an innovation center, and very few educational outlets have this. Oral Roberts University recently won a Fast Company Award. They won an award. It was something related with Forbes. I'm not exactly sure. But they're way ahead of the curve. And somehow, some way, I want to just say, little old us, God found us and sort of tapped us to have this in our space. And can you imagine young people walking in, putting on a headset, and being able to see the parts of the human body pop out? They'll be able to travel around the world, you know, like right there in that little space. And it's really exciting. And he's here for a conference sponsored by the New York Times. And he said, let me come in. And he said, I'll show your people what we can have in this space. And it's really not that expensive. That's the amazing part of it. So we're about to turn our little space by God's grace. I say this by God's grace because, you know, we have to believe for it and walk together into this. And by God's grace, he's going to provide. And it's going to be amazing. But we're going to get a glimpse of what it is. So it starts officially at 7 o'clock. There are people from this city that are going to be there just for information on, for example, the blockchain, just for information on certain other things that they're doing. They're going to actually have a robot. I don't even know what you call it. Just a little street walker. They're going to have a street walker, a wheel, a balancing wheel that has a screen on it. It's going to be going through the streets of Manhattan, and they'll bring whatever his name is. It's not Watson. That's IBM, but whoever. This is a Silicon Valley deal. So anyway, we're going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to bring my girls, and they're going to start getting an education at a young age just because it's there for me. It's there. It's available. That's the great thing about New York City, right? You could have anything you want, like a polka dance, you know, with Chinese acrobatics. I mean, anything you want is in New York. Well, we have something that's becoming, it's going to be mainstream, and it's going to be with us this Thursday night. And then on Friday night, we have a night of worship. So what a great, you know, an educational moment and then also a night of worship moment. So hopefully you'll put that in your calendar if you're able, if you're desiring. But I just think everything that God has for us is pretty awesome. On this rainy day morning that where it just feels like we're all slumbered up or whatever, can I get an amen? Just like one little amen. I mean, you know, seriously, not everybody's getting this. So it's like sometimes it's like, hey, this is a good deal here. And it's free of charge, too. So so that's that. And then secondly, real briefly, Memorial Day is tomorrow. You know, what a moment to really ponder. And it was upon me yesterday to really think about people who gave their lives for this country, for me, for you. And it wasn't always in their plan to go into certain wars, certain battles, but they knew that that was their risk. And they did it. They did it for the right reasons. I would say most of them, if not all of them. And so it's a moment to ponder and to be thankful and to remember. And I hope that we'll not miss this obvious holiday. I don't say this every year, but for some reason this year it's really heavy upon my heart to be grateful, to be thankful, to reflect, to meditate, to pray, and to give honor where honor is due. Okay, well, let's pray. We're going to get in the Word. We're going to do an off Sunday. Next Sunday we're going to get into the book of Daniel. For a couple of months, and we're getting out of, we just exited out of the light of the world. I hope that was encouraging you, that you're light in a dark space. And this particular morning, I'm going to go one off. And I pray that God speaks to you. I believe it's what he gave me for you this morning. Everybody just look at your neighbor and say, this is for you, okay? You didn't expect that, all right? Let's just pray right now. Thank you, Lord, for this gift of this day. Lord, this holiday weekend, thank you, Lord, for being here with us. Lord God, whether we feel you or not, it's a matter of faith that we accept that you said wherever two or more gather in your name, you'll be there. So we know you're here. And thank you, Lord, that you have what we need for this particular day. And thank you, God. I pray that your spirit would engage with our hearts today, that your word could go deep and beyond our minds, but into our hearts, that we might be changed and transformed by the renewing of our minds and the light of God through your word that comes into our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Awesome. Praise God. Well, I just want to thank the Lord that somehow, some way, my two little darling children got bribed to go into kids' church today. I don't know what you did, but Anders, okay, yeah. This is a weird world where my four-year-olds are aunts to their three-year-old nephew. It's modern family, right? Here we are. Here we go. All right. You never know. It could happen to you, you know? So anyway, learn by our example. It's a wonderful world. Instead of saying it's a weird world, it's wonderful. It's awesome. It's great to be in this city with you guys, with my two grandchildren, my little twin girls. And so we're making some transitions to be here all the way, full time, stuck, trapped in New York City. All the bridges are blown up. There's no exit now. Here we are, stuck together. Let's make the best of this, all right? Let's start a Let's Make New York Beautiful campaign, okay? All right, we're going to all go out and pick up trash. First order of business. We'll get there. Okay, 1 Timothy 6:11 through 12. 1 Timothy 6:11 and 12. This is what I want to start with, and this is what I want to speak on for these next 3 hours. Okay, are you ready? But flee, that was a joke if you're new, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. And here's the key word, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I want to talk to you about the good fight of faith. There are three ways when you view this scripture and you view faith. There are at least three ways you can view faith. Number one is viewing it objectively as the faith, the Christian faith, the faith of the first church, the faith of the doctrines that we believe in. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, blah, 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 blah. Amen. So we get those creeds. That is the faith. That's important. That's really critically important and something we believe in. But that's not where I'm going today. That would be what I would call the objective faith. I would also call it the Christian faith. I would call it the logos, the thought, the concept, the idea of the faith. Secondly, would be the faith of believer in regards to our lifestyle, that there are certain things that frame our life. Our faith frames our life. It's why we do what we do. It's our convictions, our consecration, our faithfulness, our disciplines. It's like going to church is part of our faith, right? That's why you're here today instead of cozied up with a cup of coffee and your quilt, your nice little Afghan or whatever you call it. I've got a thick one in my home. It's I feel like a character in Snoopy. I carry that little blanket around. I want to suck my thumb sometimes too, but I don't. I've outgrew that, but sometimes I want to. Does anybody ever want to curl up and go fetal, right? Just like, oh, I just can't take it anymore, you know? But this is why we're here today. We're here today based on a conviction. God bless you guys. Thank you for being true to your faith. If you're a Christian, this is what you do, you know? You tithe. You give your money. You greet one another. You're loving. You greet one another with the holy kiss. If it's not your spouse, maybe you shouldn't, but you could at least give a greeting, right? And let's not kid ourselves. Some kisses are not so holy. But anyway, that's off the track today. That's what this Sunday is for. This is about going wild, okay? I'm going to get off track today. Just get used to it, all right? We're not going to just do the ordinary thing, all right? That'll be for next Sunday, all right? But the point is that is our faith that is about, really, it's our ethos. Our ethos is, what is our guiding principles of life? What will we die for? You know, this is that kind of faith, that this is why I do what I do. This is why the corporation called Chick-fil-A, I don't see Paul and Taryn here today, but man, my goodness, this is why they take off one of the most busy days of the week and say, we're not going to open shop on Sunday. We know we can make more money, but somehow now they're just moving into the space of the of the top economic, unbelievable profitability of a private company that says, we choose to walk that way, we're going to walk this way. That's the faith of ethos that you guys have. Many, everybody here, you have that or you wouldn't be here. There's something about the faith that drives you. And it's amazing to me when I think about all the different ways that people do this and give their lives for certain convictions. And just in light of Memorial Day, I thought about Desmond Demps, the key role, the key man in Hacksaw Ridge, the true story about a Christian pacifist who would not accept a gun to go into World War II. He said, I feel led of God to go to war and to help, but I do not feel led to use any bullets. And he was the man who got the first medic to get the Medal of Honor because he saved 75 people with no weapons at Hacksaw Ridge. That was his faith drove him to that. Some of you, your faith is driving you to go to higher levels of education. Your faith is driving you to get up early and do what you guys do. Do what the band members do. I want to say thank you for having real faith. Thank you for being here. Thank you for getting at the door this morning and opening the door and smiling and greeting. You greeted me with the holy kiss. I gave you one right back. Thank you, sister. You know, this is who we are. This is what we do. Our faith drives us to do these things. But the third, that's not what I'm talking about today, although I wish I could. But this is what I want to talk about, and that is your personal faith. Not the logos, not the ethos, but your faith that is your pathos. It's your personal feeling of the empowerment of something that's living and alive in you that goes beyond the rational and the cognitive. It goes beyond your will. It's into your heart of your hearts. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it's called the gift of faith. You get everyone gets that gift at the new birth. You get a gift of faith that takes you to the next dimension, that takes you against all odds to say, I'm gonna do what Peter did. I'm gonna walk on water. Now let me just talk about Peter had that gift of faith, didn't he? He was the first person to give a message on the day of Pentecost when he was filled with the Spirit. And he began to preach boldly. Peter was always the first to speak, the first to get out of the boat. And then the wind and the wave came. But now, listen to this for a second, because this is what's so important. Because I want you to know that you have all three levels of this faith in your life the minute you turn to Christ. Now, some of you are only walking partially in these three. I have a man that I worked with for years on the objective faith. And he couldn't believe in the Trinity. He just said, I just can't accept the Trinity. And it took about 5 years before he was convinced that God was Father, Son, and Spirit. And this is a teaching that has to work in your mind and into your heart. And the guy who said, yeah, I believe in the Father, but who is this? Is Jesus? Can Jesus really be God? And people have to take sometimes time to come over. People have to take time to come in where they align their living with their belief, their lifestyle with their belief. And I meet these people all the time, oh my goodness, over New York City and in our churches. And it's like, come on, eventually you have to line up truth with the way. You're going the right way, but now let's get truth, and then you get the life. You don't, when you get the way, you eventually get the truth, and then, praise God, you get the life. And man, do we have to do what Paul said to Timothy, take hold of the eternal life. Grab hold of it. How do you do that? By faith. By faith, you take hold of that way, truth, and life. And Peter got out of the boat, listen, and he began to walk on water. The waves and the wind stirred up. And here's what's sad to me is that the message of that story has become how Peter failed because he stopped looking at Jesus. That's the message that we often get that is true. But as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was sustained and he walked on water. But when he began to be worried about the winds and the waves, and so often we look at Peter's failure, but I want to stop, put that on pause, and just say this. This man's faith got him out of the boat and he walked on water. You've never done that. I've never done that. But I've done it in other areas of my life, and so have you. But don't miss what's so main here. You've got a faith that can do the impossible. I can tell this is going to be a warm-up Sunday. I'm going to get you back there. I'm going to get you. You begin to look through this, so many different people in Scripture, so many different events in Scripture. And this is what I want to talk about this morning, is this personal faith. Let me just run through a few scriptures right here. 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Overcomes the world. Overcomes the world system. Overcomes the world's way of doing things. Overcomes the temptations of the world. Overcomes the deception of the world. I was in the subway the other day and I walked by a guy's t-shirt, and almost, I didn't have the time. I was so wanted to talk to him. I so wanted to get a picture of his t-shirt. It says, follow me into the world. That was his t-shirt. And it might have meant something great. It might have meant something beautiful. We don't know. I'm not judging. But this is what overcomes the world. This is the victory. The Nike, the Greek word, Nike. This is the Nike. This is more important than a swish or a swoosh on your shoe, which I have some. I adore them, all right? But this is the victory that has overcome the world. Even are your, my faith. Your faith has overcome the world. It's the victory. The next verse says it like this. But my righteous shall live by faith. My righteous, this is how we live. It becomes a way of life. It becomes a routine, a pattern. You know, long ago, I learned what it was to live off of 90%, much less than 90%, but I've learned to live off less, and that less becomes more. It does not make sense to my head, but that's okay. It's just on the hard drive because that's what faith does. Faith goes into the uncertainty. That's where we meet with God. Faith goes into the tension. Faith goes into the uncertainty. Faith begins. I start loving my enemies because that's on the hard drive of my faith now. I love my enemies. When they strike out at me, I know I got to go to them in the other spirit. It's amazing what happens. Somebody was behind me, in front of me, and I just got new tires on my car. This wasn't a recent story, but a while ago, I got new tires. And it took a long time coming down a hill to a stop sign. And it took a longer time for the brakes to adjust to the new tires. And I almost hit this guy. And he was watching me. He was having a bad day, I'm sure. He was watching me through the rear view. And he got so mad at me that he jumped out of his car. And he was coming. He was a big dude. He was big. And I thought, what am I going to do? It's on my hard drive. I jumped out my door. And I looked at him and said, man, please forgive me. I just started explaining new tires. The brakes weren't, I apologize. I'm so sorry. And that was all it took. And he said, oh, yeah, man, okay. And that was it. That was all it took. It's all it took. So there are certain things in our life that the Scripture, we live by this faith. This is how we walk by faith and not by sight. This is what Christians do. This is what we do. This is an advantage. This is an unfair advantage in all of our lives, the gift of faith, the personal faith. This makes it unfair. You have what we would call in the NBA the home court advantage. Have you ever noticed how teams can really get stomped when they play away? But when they're at home, they've got an advantage, right? They have an advantage. This is proven. This is science. This is reality. And you have this home court advantage in earth because you have faith. You have the gift of faith. Then we go to this one here in Habakkuk 2:4. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright, but the just shall live. And this verse, personalize it, shall live by his faith or her faith. Gender neutral. Living by your faith. Living by it. I live by my faith. I don't live by my paycheck. I live by my faith. My paycheck does not match where I'm going. It's not enough. This is not a preacher begging for anything here, by the way, okay? Like, give me a raise. That's not what I do. That's not how I roll. I'm here on assignment. I'm not here for money. I'm here for God and His kingdom and His purpose. Now, somehow, some way, I have decided years ago to never say, I can't afford that, because I live by my faith and not by what I see. It's just, now, there are some things that technically speaking I can't afford and I don't need. I can't afford a penthouse on Park Avenue. So I'm going to cry about it. And but you never know that God can tilt the earth and you can end up with something that you don't deserve. You didn't earn it. You can't afford it. And so guess what? This is pretty much my life story. So when God called me to China years ago and He said, I want you to start a training center in every province in China, it scared the bejesus out of me. I don't know what I want to say. It scared me, but I knew if that's what God said where I'm going, that's where I'm going. And now to date, there have been training centers all over China, and 1.8 million Chinese have been trained to preach the gospel in 22 years. This is what you do when you live by faith. You don't ever say, no, God, that can't happen, because you're talking to God. You let your faith get adjusted to the word. What's the focus here? The impossibility of it or God Himself? Because when you look at God, all things are possible to those who believe. And you'll be shaped by what you do in those moments. Your life will be shaped by it. Luke 7:50. Here's Jesus to the woman. He said to the woman who was pouring out her tears at the feet of Jesus because of her sinfulness and her wickedness, pouring it out. And He said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has rearranged your life. Now, of all the times when Jesus could have been a reformed theologian, He would have said, the glory of God has saved you. And it's true, right? The sovereignty of God has saved you. It's true. You're of the chosen and the elect. That's true. But here's also something that's true that we miss it sometimes. Your faith is at work, and it has saved you. And then the next verse is Mark 5, verse 34, to the woman with the issue of blood. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be healed. This one drives my seminary professors crazy. I don't know what to do with this. Your faith has saved you. Why? Because it doesn't fit some people's theological grid. But when you've got an issue of blood for 12 years, you spent all your money on the physicians, and nothing has changed in your life, and then you run up there and you break through the crowd, and your issue of blood, according to Jewish law, would have you kicked out of the camp. And you run into the camp, into the crowd. You reach down at the hem. She went low, the Bible says. Low. She went low. She went low. The place of humility. You can't see me, Jesus, but I know what I need to do. She grabbed the hem of His garment, and the power came into her. The power of God came into her, and she was changed. And Jesus looked around. Who touched me? And she said, it was me. And He said, your faith. Think about how many people are right around Him, right? They could have been doing the same thing. I'm going to grab something. Jesus, walk up. I'm going to get something. I'm going to get down there at this anklet. He didn't wear an anklet. Okay. I'm going to get down there low. That's right. You go low. Sometimes God's not up high. He's down low. Are you willing? I love one of the graduation services where Denzel Washington preached because it was a commencement. I think it was an Ivy League school. It was a commencement. And he said, the reason I put my shoes under my bed at night is so when I have to get them in the morning, I have to go low and start my day on my knees. Now, this is your faith at work. Your faith can work with God, and you can begin to see the invisible, do the impossible. The lid comes off. It's a real changer. But here's what happens, is that faith, to be kept, to be alive, must be fought for. You've got to fight for it. Paul said to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Now, some of you are like me. There are real fighters in this church. I mean, some jiu-jitsu wrestlers or whatever they do. I don't know, jiu-jitsu bone breakers. I don't know what they, Brazilian jiu-jitsu pretzel operators where they tie up people like a pretzel. And there are fighters. There are fighters. There are boxers. Sweet little Robbie and Rebecca, they box. I mean, Rebecca is a boxer. She's a champion. And this is for nonprofit work, so it's not her day job. But there are boxers here. Then there Pastor Adam, many of you know, he'll be speaking here on Father's Day. Pastor Adam was a fighter in the hockey league, and that's right. That's what, you know, those guys don't play hockey; they box, right? They fight, and he lost teeth. He lost a face. Literally, half of his face was blown off. Literally, in a fight. You should ask him about it. He's got his whole side of his face is held together by pins, plates, screws, the whole his side of his face. I mean, don't kid yourself. If you hit him, you will break your fist on his face. And by the way, that is really him. That's not a Watson inside that body. That's a real person in there. All right, Watson is the AI computer, IBM. That's an advertisement for Thursday night. Be at the Innovation and Technology Seminar. Okay, but anyway, here's the thing that I want to say about fighting. If you're like me, I don't like to fight. You know, you know those old movies like Braveheart and back in the day when they would run out there with swords and just cut each other and crush and all that? I started thinking one time at the movies, like, if that was me, how could I get out of this? And so I started scheming up this way to just sort of imagine, like, there was a sword. I can't find one up here. Usually I could grab a mic stand or something. There's a sword, and I would basically, when no one was looking, take the sword and put it through my underarm, you know, so they think that I'm injured. Oh, gosh. You know, and they'd be up there fighting, and I'd be laid back here, you know. You know, I'd just find a way to get my way out of it. I grew up with a big brother. He played football. He was a champion football. He went to college on an athletic scholarship, football, baseball, and he wrestled. He was a lineman on the football team. He was a wrestler. And so he constantly was playing sports. And he was a big brother. He was older, but a year older than me, and he was a big brother. But what was amazing is that I could pick a fight, but I could walk away from it because I knew he's going to finish it. And I just want to say thank God that Jesus is exactly the same way. He's going to finish my fight. And this is why we call it the good fight of faith. So it's a good fight. You know why it's a good fight? Because you're going to win. There's no such thing as a good fight when you get beat up. And maybe what scarred me and made me so not liking and enjoying fighting is that in the fourth grade, in front of my whole class, I picked a fight with a kid. My brother wasn't around. I thought, for sure, I can take this kid. And he whooped me so bad. It was an embarrassing loss. I hate to share this in front of my wife. This is the real story. I got my butt whooped. It was so bad. I got so beat up. And it just scarred me for years. And I thought, okay, fighting's not my thing. So I have to figure out a way to get out. And then the first thing that happens when you get saved, okay, you got to learn how to fight. It's like, oh, no, this isn't for me. But you know what makes it for me? It's a good fight. It's a good fight. You're not going to lose. You're going to win. You're going to win. Everybody say, I'm going to win. You are going to win. It's a good fight of faith. Now, does that mean that God answers all of our prayers? No, he doesn't. Sometimes his clear answer is no. I have a plan that you don't understand. I know what's best for you. I've got a different way. But in general, we must fight for this good fight of faith. How do we do that? Real quickly here. The first thing that we must do, and the primary thing that we must do to fight the good fight of faith, is we must spend time alone with God. We must do that. We must spend time with God. I don't know how we kind of think that we can make it without that. You can, but guess what's going to happen? You're going to pick a fight, and nobody's going to be there. Because you haven't aligned yourself with God, and so what happens? We get beat up, and then sometimes we go as far as say, I'm blaming you, God. You know, there are many, not atheists as much as wounded theists out there. They believe in God, but they get wounded, and they don't check in with God and roll their cares to God. And this is something that's really important in life, is that God has called us to fight. Matter of fact, with the Israelites, he said specifically, I am leaving, this is in the book of Judges, I'm leaving some of the giants in the land so the generation after Joshua and Caleb will learn how to fight. Now, this is not what we all want to hear, but this is actually our advantage. You haven't, again, faith gives us an unfair advantage. So learning what it is to fight by faith, we must spend time with God. It's the most important thing we can do. It makes us bold. It gets us into the Word of God. And once we're in the Word of God, Romans 10, 17 says it like this. So faith comes. Faith comes. Faith comes. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Not the Logos. This is the Rhema, the now Word of Christ. Christ wants to speak to us primarily through the Word of God, also equally, yet secondarily, through the Spirit of God. God wants to speak to us. Now, don't think that God doesn't speak to His children anymore. When the Spirit comes into us, He gives us new vocabulary. He says, I will give you the Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. I'm going to begin to speak to you. I'm going to open your ears. Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus is speaking. The Spirit is speaking. God is speaking. Go to Harvard Business School to this couple. God is speaking. Take up a connect group. God began to speak to me. I need to start a connect group. And it was the Spirit. God is putting things on my heart that He's required me to do. And what happens in a church when everyone just does what God's called them to do? That church becomes unstoppable, unbeatable. Why? We are fighting the good fight of faith. That's what we're doing. We get these words in our heart. It's powerful. What happens? What happens when we get a promise from God? We get things where God speaks to us. There's a beautiful couple in our church. I don't know this story as well as Pastor Nathan or Deacon Connor know it, but this is a beautiful story. Daniel and Carol, they were going to be here today. I assume the weather has kept, you know, them out, but they're here. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, I hope this is okay, but they're going to do a better job when you ask them about it. But this is a couple that longed to have children. They believed for children. It wasn't happening. They then signed up to be adoptive parents, which is a beautiful thing. There are so many children out there waiting to be adopted, both in the foster care system and being internationally, nationally. And they were beginning to believe God. And they were actually had a baby that they was going to be assigned to them. They held the child. That we were rejoicing together. We were happy. We were praising God. This is an answer. Finally, after months and years of the pain and the heartbreak, they had one, and then that baby was taken away. This happened right here in this space not long ago. And we were so mourning and all that. Then out of the blue, my goodness, out of the blue, they not only got accepted to be adoptive parents again, but this time it's twins. Twin children, Joshua and Deborah, are in their care. In children, this is the first time. Can you guys stand up? This is the first time that they brought their babies to church. This is the first inaugural Sunday, if they're back there. And we can't see you clearly, but praise God. We're so happy. You have your baby. Look at that, the twins right there. My Jesus, thank you for blessing this church with this family. And you know how I know that they were fighting the fight of faith is that somewhere in their journey, their sorrow turned to praise before they got an answer. Their sorrow turned to praise before they got an answer, and things began to shift and turn around. Jesus constantly fought the enemy with Scripture. He quoted Scripture constantly, and He used the principle and the power of the Word, but sometimes He just spoke, period, and it was. Let me give you an example. In Luke, it talks about he went into Peter's house, Simon Peter's home, and his mother-in-law had a fever. And then Jesus was there, and they said, "Will you help her?" And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and the fever left her. He spoke to the fever. Now get a hold of the power of words. This is using your faith right here, 101. How Jesus used his faith. This was the number one way that Jesus would heal. He healed people through the laying on of hands. He healed them from sometimes from mud. There's a lot of ways he did it, but here's one way right here. He rebuked the fever. Listen, that's crazy. He rebuked a fever? Does a fever have ears? He spoke to a fever. Does a fever have ears? No. But evidently so, because it says right there, right after that, it says the fever left her. The fever's gone. 2 days ago, in preparation for this message, this is important. It's not ultimate, but it's important. It gives you the advantage. Scripture is so slanted into this, to walk by faith and not by sight. Some of us have to use our faith just for our existence. I've been there the first 7 years of my ministry. It was give us this day. And sometimes that meant painting homes, doing things on the side, raking leaves, whatever, whatever I could do, whatever provision God made. And then you just get to it where, okay, God's going to take, it gets on your hard drive. I know that you're going to provide. God, I know that you're going to take care. I mean, some of you are using your faith for physical things. You are driving things out of your physical body. 2 days ago, I, in preparation for this message, I got a fever, a bad one. It was Daddy Day. It was the day when all day long, pretty much, I'm taking care of the girls in the heat of Central Park with a very high fever. And the way that I know it, when I get an extremely high fever, my body breaks out in a rash when it's over. Bad rash. Neck down. Everything is like beet red. And it was one of those fevers. And I knew yesterday when it was totally gone, I knew that the rash was there. And I showed my wife. I said, I knew it was a fever because I went cold, hot. And I just started thinking, oh, no, it's the flu. And so my mind began to go, okay, I won't be able to make it Sunday morning. Who can speak for me? That was my first thought. Then I thought, no, I got to battle this. Jesus rebuked fevers. So, Lord, you're in the fever rebuking business. I just started going to Jesus. And this is when you know that your faith is working, when you just begin to shift the priority value system. Instead of saying, okay, I need drugs, I need medicine, I got the flu. My wife said, you got food poisoning because I ate something that was 3 years old out of the pantry. 3 years expired. I ate something 3 years, and I didn't know it. I kept thinking, this is bitter. Well, bitter's good for you. You know, bitter's good for the system. I was drinking this thing. It was a shake packet with living vital organisms, probably all kinds of living. Good night. Probably had maggots in. I don't know what it was. But, man, I was drinking this thinking, this is bitter. But broccoli's bitter. Brussels sprouts, bitter's okay. And then I looked at it after I said, oh, no. Expired December. It expired in March of 2015, 3 years old. And she said, I think you're food poisoned. And she may have been right. But all I know is this. I began to rebuke that fever. I was at Central Park. It was so sad. My girls were running around. I'm like, Lord, I was just curled up. I was just sick looking. I'm sure people were like wondering what's wrong with this deadbeat dad over there. I mean, every once in a while they'd run up and I'd say, thank you, Lord, that they're not abducted. Thank you, Jesus. I've not been watching them out there. Mama's going to go crazy if they get lost in Central Park. I just thank you, Lord, there are cameras out here. I mean, it was that bad. But, man, all of a sudden, by that night, and then through the night, I was still a little bit weak and whatever. But then all of a sudden, yesterday morning, I got up and said, by his stripes, I am healed in Jesus' name. And it was gone. When Jesus rebukes something, agree with him. Agree with him. You don't even have to believe it. But you believe in Jesus so you can go in that direction. Man, there is more to be said on this, but I think for the sake of this, let me just close with this story, and then let's take communion together momentarily. But let me just close with this and just give you a very, really a practical expression of this, but some of you know and have been praying. My friend Jonathan, I was so blessed. He texted me, how's the apartment search going? We've been trying to get out of our one bedroom for so long. Just like, how do we do this now? We downsized 5 years ago to a one bedroom. It's a lot cheaper. It's affordable. And then now we got to get back up because we got girls who sleep in every night in a closet. And I just don't want them to turn 18. And then all of a sudden their memory comes on. My parents locked me in a closet, you know, and I'm going to sue them now and emancipate myself from that. You know, I just, you know, those are crazy thoughts, right? But I'm just, this is how my mind works. And so we just began to believe God. And then all of a sudden we give our price range and went to Street Easy. It's this website. You put your price range, your neighborhood where you want to be. And it was a certain street just north of where we are now. And we put in there, and it was everything was coming in. It was way complicated, way out of our price range. And then all of a sudden, one from a different part of the city came through. It came through. I'm like, what is this? Oh, man, this is on Central Park? This is on, no way. This couldn't be right. A two-bedroom on Central Park, this is impossible. This is a mistake. This is not the actual view that they get. This is something else. And it was unbelievable because somehow, some way, this came through. Lynette and I looked. She said, you better go up there tomorrow morning, first thing, and I did. And I was the first to look at this place, and it was amazing because it was two bedrooms. It cost $1,200 less than what it should have cost, $1,200 a month, that is. And we were the first in, and they said, great, it's yours. Their broker did and said, great, you got this. And we were just like, this is amazing. This is a God story. This is how God does it. And then the next day they called and said, the owner wants to give it to his friend. And it was like getting punched right in the stomach. You ever been sucker punched right in the stomach? It was like we were rejoicing. We signed up, said, praise God. And then we began to, here's what happened. When I was on the hallway walking down, the first thing is that I remember this is our friend Bill and Betty live here. Bill and Betty Swan live here. It's like, wow, that's another token. I mean, two bedrooms, it's got a beautiful view, all that. And, you know, views are optional in New York City, right? And we've all lived in that amazing view that 6 feet away is another person's apartment. It's like, hey, good morning. God bless you. You know, that's the pull down of the block out, right? We've all had that, right? And, you know, when we can break free from that, you know, it's like, the Bible said, let there be light, you know. We want to get in the light, right? We don't want to get there and, you know, God bless you, put a robe on this time. You know, it just gets old, right? So, you know, when that we got sucker punched, all of a sudden we stood up a day or two later and said no. Because when I was on the hallway, when I was walking down the hall to look at this, I heard these words. This is what I heard. I go to prepare a place for you. That's John 14. I said, that's the scripture. The Lord, the Holy Spirit just gave me a word from Jesus. But he said, I go to prepare. Now, that gave, when I got in the situation, then I said, oh, okay. Jesus said, I go to prepare. So let's fight for this. Now, here I've got my Jewish friend there who's going down there with me. And I began to say to my friend, I began to say to her, hey, God's going to do this because he told me. And she said, she didn't quite have a category. She said, oh, okay, you know, let's just pull out our little, you know, our little trinkets and blow some pixie dust on. You know, it's like make believe. You know what happened a few days later? The owner called and said, I just, you know, and the reason is here's what we stood on. Proverbs 21:1, we prayed this prayer over and over the owner's heart. Said the Lord's. In the Lord's hand, the king's heart, the king, whoever the leader is, whoever your boss is, remember this. Whoever your president is, whoever your chairman is, whoever your landlord is, the king's heart is a stream of water that he channels toward all who please him. So I saw ourselves moving in. And then he called and said, I'm going to give this to you. And now we're in. That's the story. Now, do you think that 30 years of fighting by faith is going to teach me something? One thing it teaches me is you don't quit. it also teaches me that sometimes we don't get what we want because we're not fighting the battle that we're supposed to fight. But there are times when you know this is the will of God. There are times that you know that. And when you know that, sometimes they come like a gift from heaven, just drops. When I met my sweet Lynette, it was like a gift from heaven. And I didn't have to fight the good fight of faith, but I did have to buy some roses and some dinners and, you know, things. You have to do what you have to do, right? And then you have to get on your knee, not in Sunday school class for the kids, you know, but those things. But other times, you have to fight for it. Why is it that way? I don't know. It's just the reality that our faith doesn't work without exercise. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Let your word just help us, direct us, heal us. And we just pray your joy as we honor you, Lord, here at the table of the Lord. And thank you, Lord, for this covenant. Let's just...
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.